morning.
Chances are, 'cause I wear a silly grin, the moment you come into view. Chances are you think that I'm in love with you.
And today is Wednesday, January 15th, 2025. Again, good morning. This is a live reading of the Green Valley News. My name is Mark DeGroft. Glad to be with you today. My allergies are bothering me. Anybody else? So if I sneeze, you will understand. Weather today, currently 43 in Green Valley. Today's high is going to be 72 degrees, low tonight at 39. High in the 70s, again, humidity is currently 26%, cloud coverage 7%, winds out of the east-southeast at 9 miles per hour, and the UV index is 4 for moderate. Sunrise today was at 7:24, setting tonight at 5:42. Good deal of sunshine today. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, tomorrow generally sunny, and a high of 73.
One and only one for me, and if you think you could, well, chances are, your chances are awfully good.
And birthdays today. Very happy birthday to Dan Garrett and to Gilbert Mowbray and to Rita Morton, loyal Sun Sounds listeners. Happy birthday and a joyous day for you today. Okay, let's see what's happening. Several Santa Cruz County firefighters joined widespread efforts this week to contain the large wildfires that are continuing to spread across Los Angeles and prevent new blazes from breaking out. A three-person crew and one fire truck from the Tubac Fire District arrived at San Bernardino, just outside of Los Angeles, on Thursday. Tubac Fire Chief Ben Guerrero said the crew was tasked with patrolling the San Bernardino National Forest to help contain any fires that potentially break out in the area. Additionally, a four-person crew and one fire truck from the Rio Rico Fire District had initially left for the Cleveland National Forest near San Diego to assist in the area known as the hotspot for wildfires, Deputy Fire Chief Chris Renteria said. But by last Wednesday, the crew was reassigned to Pasadena, California, to help with the Eaton Fire, the second largest fire currently blazing in this state. "We were requested in case something broke out," Renteria said, and something broke out. Santa Rita Valley Fire District said this week it has not sent anybody as yet to the fires. Guerrero and Renteria said the crew had no estimated return date out as of this Friday afternoon. However, the two noted the usual assignment time frame is 14 days with the option for an extension or crew swaps. As of Tuesday, the fires had killed at least 24 people, destroyed or damaged more than 12,000 structures across the county. Guerrero said that staff routinely assess the need for additional resources based on specialized requirements and progress with the containment. As a result, staff may backfill resources with the help of personnel that arrive at a later date, he said. "We regularly send crews and personnel to assist other areas," he said. As for our RFD, Renteria said the truck engine currently assisting Pasadena had already been sent to four assignments in the Cleveland National Forest just within the last 6 months. Well, it's been 6 months since the Green Valley Fire District annexed Northern Sahuarita and changed its name to the Santa Rita Fire District. Chief Chuck Wonder believes the transition has gone quite well. "I've been very pleased with how the transition has worked. Anytime you start something new, you don't really know what the unknowns are, and there's been a few of those kind of things that pop up. But generally speaking, the transition has been smooth," he said. From July 1st through December 31st, SRFD responded to 1,051 calls. "I think our biggest thing is trying to make sure the people are aware of all the services that we offer. Coming in and working, it's new to them. They're not familiar with some of the services. I think that's probably the biggest transition," he said. In September 2023, the Pima County Board of Supervisors validated nearly 4,000 signatures the district obtained from residents thereby giving them the okay to proceed with the annexation. The district purchased Rural Metro Station near McDonald's on Suarita Road, spent months ordering new equipment and hiring personnel, including several from Rural Metro. We spent a lot of time up front visiting with them about our culture, the important things like that. They have been marvelous, to be honest. They brought a ton of experience. I think the youngest one we brought on had 8 years of experience, and then it went up from there. I think most of them had in excess of 15 years of experience, so that has really been a huge benefit for our department. The district's next 10-week fire academy, which will be held in conjunction with Drexel Heights Fire Department, is starting on January 27th with 7 cadets who will be participating, Wunder said. The new recruits will be filling positions left open due to attrition. The department also recently received a new fire truck, and a second one will be delivered next week. The Suarita station, known as Station Number 154, has an ambulance, a rescue truck, and an engine, and he's pleased with their response times, he said. Because so many of Northern Suarita's residents didn't have a subscription to Rural Metro, many were surprised when they received their property tax bill, showing how much they are now paying for fire services, Wunder said. We had some people that were not obviously pleased with that, or they didn't support the annexation and were frustrated, but I think through some education that certainly quieted down and now that we're underway, he said. Residents are becoming more familiar with the services SRFD provides. They're also seeing crews participating in community events. Residents can now take advantage of district's lockbox program, that is, get batteries for smoke alarms, get free snake removal services, and participate in the district's fall prevention program. People are learning who we are, and that's been a positive, because they recognize how engaged in the community we really are, and that we do want to be a partner, he said. SRFD is already standing by during high school football games and participating in career days and fire prevention week activities, but they'll be expanding their reach into the school system next year, Wunder said. They hope to meet every single kindergarten class to give them safety messages and then revisit them in second and fifth grade to see how much they've retained. As part of the KinderCare program, the department would also keep track of information so that in the event of a fire, they could see if the children shared with their parents such as the importance of working smoke alarms, having an exit strategy, and a special meeting place, Wunder said. He said the district is also working on letting people outside the fire district's boundaries to the south of Suarita know that they can obtain services if they subscribe. We've done some mass mailers, we've done some HOA meetings and notifications. Obviously, the Green Valley News has covered this annexation, but I think there are still people who are not aware of what's happening, he said. He said if SRFD responds to an emergency outside of their jurisdiction, the residents will receive a bill within 30 days. That says if they'd like to subscribe to the SRFD, they can do so in lieu of paying the bill for services provided. The district is also busy trying to recruit new Fire Corps members. I think a good message to get out to the folks is that we have a variety of different tasks. So if you have an interest in a few hours to volunteer or want to be supportive, we probably have a job for you, Wunder said. It is 9:40. Green Valley residents eager to check out the new cafe at the Del Sol Clubhouse filled every table and lunch on Monday. Monday was the official grand opening of 1989 Bakehouse, the first brick-and-mortar location for the Suarita Company. In September, the Green Valley Recreation Board of Directors unanimously approved a 3-year no-rent utilities licensing contract with the company. After 3 years, the company can negotiate a lease, which could be based on square footage or profit-sharing arrangement. At the time, CEO Scott Summers said that GVR wanted to create a social gathering place, but wasn't interested in getting into the restaurant business. Vending machines, he said, were too impersonal. Today's been great. We've been busy since we opened the doors, said Morgan Chupik, the cafe manager. I think people are just excited to have a location close to their houses. A lot of people are happy to get coffee with a great view, too, she said. Owner Randy Koch said that the pre-lunch crowd seemed to like the biscuits and gravy and the breakfast sandwiches, with the latter being taken out onto the golf course. Chupik said that their cookies were well received as well. Everything went amazing this morning. We had a big turnout, Koch said. Linda Jorn splurged on an $8 cherry almond cookie after eating a $5 slice of quiche. Both were excellent, she said. All I have left of the quiche is the crumbs, and the cookie was the best, Jorn said. I'd come back and order more. One of her companions, who declined to give her name, was surprised at the cookie price. $8 for a cookie in Green Valley? I don't think so, she said. Maybe if we were in Manhattan. Jan Warner agreed the prices were high, but said, I'll probably try it again, but I want to give them time to get all the kinks out. Beverly Ford, who was trying out a dirty kai drink for the first time, thought the $6 price tag was a little ambitious. Still, she'll be back. Why? The location, she said. There's nothing else up here. Sounds good to me. 942. Sorry, the Unified School District officials would like to make changes to the 25-26 break, spring break, and spring holiday schedule, and are seeking parents' input. The school board approved the calendar 2 years ago, not realizing the Tucson Rodeo was going to break its pattern of being held the third Thursday of the month, Assistant Superintendent Brent Bonner said. As a result, staff is now recommending rodeo days to be held February 26th and 27th in 2026 instead of February 19th and 20th. In addition, they'd like spring break to be held 1 week later, March 16th through 20, and to push the spring holiday from early April to April 17th. Several Suarita Unified School District schools received new shade structures over the holiday break, and the district took possession of 4 new 10-passenger vans, SUSD Superintendent Manny Valenzuela told a school board on January 8th. The shade structures were paid through the $50 million bond voters okayed in 2023, and the vans were purchased with district additional assistance funds. During the same meeting, the school board thanked Arizona Electric Power Cooperative for donating land adjacent to Walden Grove High School. The gift will make it possible for the district to move 4 tennis courts closer to the other athletic fields and add 2 more courts. The courts needed to be moved to accommodate new classrooms that were being built. The tennis courts are being paid by school facility board funds. Classrooms will be funded with a portion of the $50 million voter-approved bonds. And Suarita Unified School District Superintendent Manny Valenzuela announced last week that Suarita High School's Winter Guard is competing in the Winter Guard Nationals in Southern California in March. The students have also been invited to go to Philadelphia next summer to participate in events marking America's 250th birthday. It just really speaks to our community. It speaks to our amazing staff and certainly our unbelievably talented students that we get to succeed that way, Valenzuela said. And I think we succeed that way because we do it together. That's the Suarita Wins way. Well, Mark Hart's my name may not be familiar, but he's likely had a big influence on what most of us know about Southern Arizona wildlife management. Hart took the reins as Arizona Game and Fish Department Tucson Region spokesman back in 2009, providing updates, information, and outreach throughout southeastern Arizona. Hart, who's 67 years old, will retire on January 22nd, taking an appreciation for wildlife and Southern Arizona's biodiversity with him. He attended the U of A for 2 years in the mid-70s, saying it was a natural option since his mother moved here in 75. He later finished his degree in mass communications at Loyola University in Chicago. He credits the move to the lure of the big city, adding it was where his high school sweetheart, whom he eventually married, was living. During the 2008 recession, Hart worked on various communications projects in Florida and Kentucky before finding the opening with Game and Fish in Tucson. He credits Game and Fish staff with getting him up to speed on wildlife management. The boost came in handy. Hart remembered having to overcome a learning curve as soon as he got rolling on his new job. The first week I was there, somebody illegally killed a prairie dog up at Las Cienegas, he said. That's how I started learning about the laws. covering game management. The guy who killed the prairie dogs said he thought it was a coyote, though Hart says it's pretty impossible to mistake a regular black-tailed prairie dog for a coyote. But what I learned right out of the gate was how passionate people in this region are about wildlife, he said, adding it has a lot to do with the wildlife proximity to the developed areas. That started me down the trail. Oh, this is something people are very interested in, and they feel very strongly against anybody breaking law against wildlife management. This is a good gig. People care. Hart found recurring issues when it comes to the public being in close proximity to the wildlife. One is people interfering with baby wildlife. People just love to play the Good Samaritan. The heart's in the right place, but if you scoop up a baby javelina or a fawn and you bring it to us, now you've separated it from its mother. We're not going to be able to reunite them, he said. Another recurring issue is when people feed the wildlife, often tossing spoiled vegetables over a wall. People might think they're preventing the food from going to waste, but he said what would make a human sick will likely do the same to the wildlife. He remembers 10 javelina dying from E. coli in Tucson on his watch, which the department suspected was someone making spoiled food accessible to them. There's also no shortage of cases. Hart said there have been more than 20 wildlife feeding complaints in Tucson since August. Wildlife feeding can also be dangerous to the human providing the meals. Hart said wildlife will get habituated, losing their fear of people, and then making some bold moves. Hart came across several tough cases during his career with Game and Fish. Several involved bears. In June of 2023, a bear killed 66-year-old retired man who was building a cabin in Prescott. Hart was the communication officer for the response team dispatched to investigate. The man's camp was tidy. A messy camp attracts bears, he said. Not him. Perfect, Hart said, having his morning coffee. And a 366-pound bear charged him, dragged him 100 yards, and killed him. It was a rare predatory attack by a black bear, which aren't as common as grizzly bear attacks. Hart said people can be complacent and ignore bear warning signs, dismissing Arizona's bears as cute or harmless. He recalled a bear incident in Madera Canyon in the fall of 2016. A bear had surprised a bird watcher who left the area before the bear made off with her backpack and her food. Now the bear has discovered backpacks contained food, Hart said. For months afterward, that bear would approach every backpacked hiker on those trails. The Forest Service, in an abundance of caution, closed the trails twice. Green Valley News reported Game and Fish called off the search for the bear twice after intergovernmental teams came up empty. But the bear was so determined that even the hotshot crew was up there repairing the trail during the closures had a backpack that was stolen by the bear, Hart said. He spent time during the closure working on the trailheads, passing out brochures and providing hikers with information about bears. And I just hung out in that parking lot for days talking to hikers, explaining the trail closures, he said. That's real gratifying work, one-on-one. You're not reaching a lot of people, but you're reaching people who really need to know this stuff for their own safety and maybe for their safety down the road someplace. They see a bear warning and they say, big deal, yeah. Well, it is a big deal. In November 2016, Game and Fish killed the bear after it tracked about 18 people for a half hour and came to within 25 feet of them. Hart says it's tough when the outcome is having to kill the animal. Because we want wildlife on the landscape, that's ultimately our goal, he said, but our orientation is to landscape-scale populations. We don't believe one individual affects the overall population. So if there's a public safety issue, yeah, we have to take it. About 7 years ago, Hart remembered the case of a young nuisance bear in Rio Rico, ending much better. The bear was getting into trash cans throughout the community. Game and Fish, along with Santa Cruz County supervisors, worked to get the word out to residents to secure their trash cans. Game and Fish tranquilized the bear and moved it, but it made its way back, which is not unusual. The bear eventually left the area, stayed gone while colder temperatures moved into the area, with Hart saying that it's the best outcome for wildlife management and the animal. Hart's last hurrah with Game and Fish will be the upcoming Wings Over Wilcox Birding and Nature Festival on January 16th. That's tomorrow. It'll mark the 15th he was involved with Game and Fish. Hart says he realized it means more than he first imagined. It's a great economic benefit to that rural community. I like the idea of activities that directly benefit a community that I can be a part of. And I didn't see that one coming, he said. I thought it was just going to work a little wildlife festival and maybe give a presentation. I wasn't thinking about what it means to that community. And it means a lot. After January 22nd, he plans to put the camera his wife bought him as a retirement gift to work. He has trips planned to Alaska and Australia, but it's southern Arizona's wilderness and wildlife where he plans to spend that retirement. We should all feel very fortunate to live in a place like this, he said. The biological diversity of life here is just like nowhere else in the country, and it's to be embraced and enjoyed. True to the nature of his work, Hart left Green Valley with a parting message he spent years spreading to the public. Be passionate about wildlife, but be careful. We know that everybody wants that shot for their Facebook page or their Twitter account, but don't risk your life trying to get an image. Get the shot from a safe distance and then move off. And don't feed. Please don't feed the wildlife. Sounds like he's adamant about that. It's 9:52. Let's take a quick look here at the Pima County Public Safety Log. Pima County Sheriff's Department detectives are investigating after someone reported being assaulted just 2 days prior. A real estate agent asked the Sheriff's Department to check on a former client who had stopped communicating with them. The agent also said a weird guy answered the door and the former said that the former client was fine. Anise Paseo de Golf, a resident, called the Sheriff's Department at 3:30 a.m. to report someone was knocking on her windows. Deputies didn't find anything suspicious. A South Paseo de Amigo resident informed the Sheriff's Department someone stole his Vespa scooter. A West Pinyon Drive resident called the department to report a neighbor harasses anybody who comes to visit them. The resident also said the neighbor screams profanities. Deputies determined no crime had occurred. A West Hawkway resident called the department to report her son was breaking things. Deputies determined that no crime had been committed. The department received a report from a woman near North Abrego Drive and East Placita Jasmine who complained people in the community were trying to run her out. Deputies determined no crime. The department was asked to check on a man who was screaming at the very top of his lungs, making weird noises, playing loud music on West Aliso Drive. Deputies determined the man was okay. Sorita Police Department is investigating a report that four vehicles at a home on South Placita de Niguel have been vandalized over the last month. And Sorita Police were summoned to a home three times and ultimately determined a family member was experiencing dementia-related issues. A mobile crisis team was summoned. Family members came up with a plan and were provided with resources should future incidents occur. A West Camino Rio Chiquito resident called Sorita Police after discovering their backsliding glass door had been damaged. Officers couldn't determine what had caused the damage. Sorita Police were asked to document the fact that a local resident found a note on their car from an unknown person stating that they had the caller's license plate number if the caller damaged their car. The callers noted that all of the vehicles in the parking lot on the West Duval Mine Road were parked closely, but they hadn't caused any damage. A woman called Sorita Police at 5:30 a.m. and asked them to check on her husband, whose phone was ringing at the at the garage restaurant. Officers found him asleep inside of his vehicle. Sorita Police received a call from a family on East Grosvenor Hills Place complaining that two sets of unidentified teenagers had showed up at their house looking for a non-existent party they had heard about on social media. Officers circulated the area but didn't see anything suspicious. On January 5th, a South Paseo Cerro resident called deputies at 3:15 in the morning to report that three people were on her roof. Deputies couldn't find anybody. Detectives were called, had been assigned to investigate a report someone pulled a gun on a woman on East Hardscrabble Road. Suarita police are investigating after multiple pieces of sports equipment were missing from storage containers on South Camino de las Quintas over a period of time. No damage was found on any of the storage containers. All of the locks were missing. January 6th, Suarita police are investigating after a woman at University Medical Center South told officers her significant other repeatedly tried to block her path after she exited their vehicle during an argument and then struck her with the vehicle next near East Quail Crossing Boulevard and North Old Nogales Highway. Suarita police received a call from a tow company employees who said two people tried to get access to a vehicle that wasn't registered to them in order to get items from inside it. The two people were banned from the business. And Suarita police received a report that multiple people using counterfeit $10 bills to buy items from a business on West Beta Street. Suarita police are investigating after a local resident reported they were scammed out of $2,100. Suarita police and Santa Rita Fire District crews who were dispatched to a residential fire on West Placita in Nieve learned the heating system was overheating and dispersing black smoke throughout the house's vents. A West Aliso Drive resident called the sheriff's department because a bicyclist with a backpack kept falling over. They were worried he'd fall into traffic. A North Cobalt Drive resident drove to the sheriff's substation to report she'd lost money in a scam. A Portland, Oregon woman called the department and reported her sister was defrauding their grandmother, who lives in Green Valley. A woman called the department to report her former boyfriend stole her Jeep Liberty. She said a matching vehicle was at her ex-mother's house with different license plates. She suspects they were swapped. A South Pecan Valley Place resident called the department to complain they haven't been able to cash the check they received from an estate sales company due to insufficient funds. And a West Calle Excels resident called the sheriff's department because someone is threatening to post pictures of them. And an East La Huerta resident called the sheriff's department to report someone rattled his bedroom door and ran off after he grabbed the gun. And that, my friends, will take care of the reading of the Green Valley News. Thank you so much for joining me. Stay warm out there. Winter's here. It's going to warm up, though. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned.
In the little valley town, and the song that they were singing was for baby Jimmy Brown. Then the little congregation prayed for guidance from above. Lead us not into temptation, bless this hour of meditation, guide him with eternal love. There's a village hidden deep in the valley, beneath the mountains high above. And there, 20 years thereafter, Jimmy was to meet his love. Boom, 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 boom. All the chapel bells were ringing. Boom. 'Twas a great day in his life. 'Cause the songs that they were singing was for Jimmy and his wife. Then the little congregation prayed for guidance from above. Lead us not into temptation, bless, O Lord, this celebration. May their lives be filled with love. Hidden deep in the valley, one rainy morning dark and gray, a soul winged its way to heaven, Jimmy Brown had